America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We go around the NFL at 5:30. Some thoughts from the rest of the games. How'd we do on our picks? Spoiler alert, not great this week. That's a bit of a significant yikes, bro. But we have 30 minutes to not think about that. And we'll spend a good chunk of them with our pal Michael Phillips. It's time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Mondays mean Michael Phillips, 910 The Fan, joins us, of course, down in Richmond, longtime beat reporter who covered the team. Now he's just a talking head like me. So Monday we get together, the former reporters turn talking heads club, and we have some fun on the radio. Michael, hello, sir.
We'll get Dick Schaap to moderate the former sports reporters. We'll call it. We'll air it Sunday morning, so it'll be a good time for everybody. Yeah. I was at a game this weekend. Not a game.
Tell me more.
Went down to Miami for Virginia Tech against Miami, which I don't know if you saw, had an absolutely bananas ending.
I heard about that. Here's why I cared about that game, Michael, because we had it on our air, and that cut our show in half on Friday, which I will not say whether I enjoyed or not. I would just say on a Friday, I was done an hour and a half sooner than I usually was, and then I was with my cousin, who is a University of Miami alum, Saturday, and he was telling me about the game, and I was like, oh, that sounds insane. All I know is when the pregame started.
You know, I always say I enjoy doing the show, but it doesn't bother me when I get paid to not do the show. I think getting paid not to work is the American dream.
That, I don't know if that's uniquely American, frankly, but it certainly made my Friday nice and easy. However, Michael, then we get to Sunday, and lo and behold, Commanders put in some work. That's for sure.
Yeah,
see what I did there? See? You still got it.
Yeah, they did.
I'll ask you this way. What matters to you more, the 42 or the 14?
Well, I think the 42 excites me more, just because I'm so excited about Jaden Daniels. Like, he's so good, and, we got all this time here to get into it, but briefly, he is not being babied as much as I think maybe it was made out to be in the lead-up to the Cincy game. He was making second read, third reads. He was making progressions. I loved the interception, Craig, because on the interception, I don't think he made a bad decision. I just think he made a bad throw. And I think if you look at, if you're an opposing team and you're watching the tape, all right, kid threw an interception. What are we going to learn from this? How are we going to get after him? I don't think there's anything there that you're like, this is how he's beatable. Pray on the sideline that he throws it above the receiver's head. I'm not sure that's a viable long-term strategy. I don't want to discount the 14. The 14 tells me they could make the playoffs this year. Like, I think it's time to make that as a definitive statement. I resisted it last week. But if the pass rush plays like that and can rattle quarterbacks like that, they'll go to 4-1 this week, and you have to treat them as a credible playoff contender. For long term, it's the 42. We've been playing this game for 20 years, Craig, and I'm willing to get hurt again. I'm willing to do it. I think he might be the one.
I hear you. I hear you. And I was having this conversation earlier today with Natalie Spalla of ABC7 up here in a segment that folks can watch on Sports Talk on Wednesday night. But as Nat was asking me a question that I'm now going to flip on you, Michael, that goes to the heart of this conversation about Jaden and this offense, which she goes like, what's the concern? Like, what, how do they continue this? And I was like, well, concern-wise, I don't really know, because it's not even like this is the same offense every week. They're just putting up the same production, but their ability to shape-shift and do a bunch of different stuff left me, like, I'm sure that there's a defensive coordinator out there that's going to present them a problem they don't solve this year, because they're not going to score 40 every single week or 38, 35 plus every single week. I just currently can't identify what that thing is outside of them not executing as well as they have.
Yeah, you know, they'll get it figured out, but right now, it's always easier for the other team when somebody else figures it out, right? And I mean, football's littered with examples of somebody being exposed and then going on a 5-6 game losing streak just because everybody else does it. You grab the tape, rip the schemes, and go. That doesn't exist yet, so that's why we live in a particularly exciting time here. I think that, you know, you talk about watching film and watching the plays. I was excited to get into it this week. Mike Shanahan, when he had it rolling in 2012, you know, I could draw it out for you why it worked. And, you know, it's pretty simple. You saw the same concepts every week generally. Jay Gruden was always fun to watch film on, because even when that team stunk, you'd turn on the film and you say, ah, I see what he was doing here. If they had good players, they might have been able to achieve the things Jay wanted to achieve. You know, he could draw a play on a napkin and it'd work. Then the guys on the field would find a way to botch it. But generally speaking, he could draw a play on a napkin and it worked. This is, I mean, I don't know what Cliff Kingsbury was doing in Thailand, but whatever was going on in his head, he was cooking some stuff up. And I'm almost, it's kind of silly to talk about whether it's sustainable or not sustainable. Like, it's probably not sustainable to throw brand new football concepts at an opponent every week for 17 weeks for years on end. But I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Right, but like, they can throw something this week and then something else next week and come back to A the week after that. And like, if you're a defensive coordinator prepping, you don't know which one's coming. And that's like that. That's the thing I think I appreciate so much about the NFL now. And I think Logan has taught me this more than anyone else that I've worked with, of like, so much of football, and this is why the preseason is nonsense. So much of football is about scouting. Do we know what the other team is doing? Do we have answers? And can we even take it to the next level of use what they're trying to do against them, which teams have done to Washington defensively so far this year? For instance, they want to be really aggressive up front, so let's let them run by us and hit them with screens and traps and draws and get enormous gains in the run game, because they just run themselves out of plays. And Washington did a better job on that. Again, we'll circle back to it in a moment. But offensively, if you don't know whether it's going to be a screen-heavy game, a deep-shot-heavy game, are they going to run a ton of RPO? Is Brian Robinson going to be the featured guy? Is Eckler going to be the featured guy when he gets back? Like, it's just, you're just stuck in hell, Michael, if you're a defensive coordinator. And like, at least if you're Cleveland, you have Myles Garrett who can muck stuff up. But on the average week in, week out, like, I don't know what you prepare for this team, or like what the right formula is to stop them until they start slowing on the execution front.
This last 4 minutes is a Cliff Kingsbury compliment, obviously, and it shouldn't be taken any other way. But this is really a Jaden Daniels compliment, because you can have the best offensive schemes in the world, but if the quarterback can't process them and run them, it doesn't matter. This kid has done everything they've asked him to do, and he's done it really well at a really high level. And not that there's you know, there are quarterbacks who can do different game plans every week and get ready, but there aren't 32 of them. He's in a special club here in terms of being able to process, being able to deliver on what's being asked of him every week, and to do it at a ridiculously high level in a situation in Cincy where there was literally no margin for error. Any punt would have torpedoed the game, and he delivered. And then in Arizona, where I know what the final score says, but it was in doubt until 35-14 there at the start of the fourth quarter. It could have swung the other way. He's walking that tightrope, and he's doing it masterfully.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Phillips hosts MP on the Mic, 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan, which you can, of course, listen to on the free Odyssey app or on your radio. Also at 105.1 FM if you are driving through down in Richmond. The other part of the offense that I think deserves a shout-out, Michael, that I haven't actually talked about yet today and probably haven't talked about as much this season is the offensive line. And to say this offensive line was much maligned coming into the season is like, I don't know, saying like a Carolina Reaper is a hot pepper. Like, you've kind of undersold the severity here. This offensive line was just, everyone thought they sucked. Michael, newsflash, they don't suck. Where does the credit go for that, in your opinion?
Now I'm ready to credit Cliff Kingsbury. Now I'm ready to say, this guy is doing things up front. The pulling, just the different schemes and looks. And I mean, the way they run the ball is different and is not consistent in the best, most complimentary way. You don't know if you're lining up over a guy, if that's the guy you're going to end up blocking or not. And I think Brandon Coleman has come along quickly. You mentioned the preseason probably isn't good for much. It's good for rookies acclimating to the NFL, and he didn't get it, and he didn't get a training camp. And I think we saw a lot of on-the-job training over the first 3 weeks. That's really paid off here in week four. And I think you're seeing what I would say, across the board and lumping in the defense, saw a lot more cohesion in this game. I saw a lot more, it's not one guy making a play, but it's a lot of guys making a play together. And that's going to make them even more dangerous because at the risk of maligning them, which is apparently not allowed at the moment, I don't know that this is the most athletic bunch in the world. But I think when you have a unit that plays together, they can do some pretty good things.
So I will nitpick your description ever so slightly, not to defend their honor, just to, I think, point of clarification. I do think they're a really athletic group. And, like, they've used that athleticism to their advantage, right? I don't think they're the most skilled, like, best offensive linemen in the league collectively, right?
There you go.
But they are, like, Wiley will get out in space and smack somebody. Cosme can move. Coleman can move. Like, Biotish, they get him out in space as a lead blocker, and he's punishing people. And so to use them versus last year where they put Andrew Wiley in a phone booth and asked him to pass block 30 times a game, and you're like, he's not going to be that great at that. He'll be maybe average, below average, but if you don't ask him to do it 30 times, it won't hurt you that much. And I think that, along with, obviously, circle back to Jaden, his process in getting the ball out, like, that is a huge deal. But even yesterday, Michael, I think that's the thing that kind of blew me away offensively. I haven't watched the offensive tape back in full yet, but the thing that really stuck out to me watching the game is we can talk about Jaden's patience in the pocket, but you don't get the luxury of having patience in the pocket if dudes are trying to kill you. And he had clean pockets to work from all day yesterday. So clearly, while they brought this group along and have deployed all the schematic stuff you just talked about, they also are playing better. And it's amazing how those things seem to, go together.
Yeah, I'll give you the yes and, right? That's the improv move here. Yes, and, you're right. Yes, and B-Rob's a beast, man. When B-Rob sets the tone with a five-yard run every time, that makes life easier for everybody. When McNichols is averaging 8 yards a carry, that makes life easier for everybody. when Brian Robinson lowers his shoulder and is trucking dudes every time he gets hit, that stuff adds up. And I think that he deserves a lot of credit as well for softening defenses over the course of games, because he's been a grown man out there running the football.
Yeah, I love Schlereth during the game yesterday. He's like, you know why you hit that guy? Because he might have to cover the next snap, and he's not going to have to feel as good. And I was like, yeah. Also, you get extra yards. And but you're right, Mark. That probably sucks. That probably sucks when you have to go chase Terry McLaurin around after Brian Robinson tried to run through your chest. I never thought of that before. By the way, I believe Mark is going to join us on the show tomorrow, so we can talk about that.
Got it.
Michael Phillips with us now here on the Team 980 for Not My Beat. All right, let's talk about the defense. What do you think was the biggest difference yesterday in them, playing well, a thing they had not done so far this year?
Yeah, I thought it was the D-line. I thought they had an exceptional outing. I would probably give Dorrance Armstrong my game ball on defense. And, you know, I'll say this, a lot of love coming to Luvu this and Chin and those guys as well. And I think with Chin in particular, it was good resilience, right? Like, he didn't acquit himself well on the first drive. He won't grade out well on that one. And then he bounced back, and to be able to, you know, play well from there, and stuck his nose into a lot of plays, a lot of spaces, gave some big hits. I thought that was very encouraging. But to me, it all started up front, Craig. Allen and Payne were what you needed of them, clogging up the middle, taking double teams, and Armstrong was winning his one-on-ones so routinely. And I don't want to take any of the shine off of this defensive line. Great effort. When they got to Kyler Murray, they got to Kyler Murray. He made some really head-scratcher decisions and throws as the game went on that, one, are not befitting a QB1 making the amount of money he's making. That's a problem for Arizona Talk Radio to deal with, not us, but also speaks to the impact the D-line had on the game early and often.
Yeah, I think they did a good job of covering stuff up on the back end, because there's times where it's like, okay, they got to him. Let me go rewind and watch the back end, and you're like, oh, there was nowhere to go. And there's a couple times that he just missed or he's flustered. I will also make – Michael, you ready for a bold prediction?
Hang on a second. All right, I'm seated.
All right, I know you had to buckle in and the whole deal there. I think John Allen gets a captaincy this week.
Like permanently for the year?
No. Just like the weekly captains. They're doing this thing week by week.
Yep.
I think the way that he played – like, because he's been him here – they are probably looking for reasons to give him one and give him an attaboy and say, like, hey, welcome to the party. You know, we appreciate your willingness to stick with this experiment. And now he's playing, you know, but the first couple of weeks, like, he wasn't playing to that level. There's no way you could have given it to him because he didn't, frankly, earn it. But the way he played, the heart hustle that he showed, not to mention the productivity, I think that they are probably looking to get that out of John Allen week after week, and rewarding that effort and that intensity and that production is good. My bold prediction this week is that when Dan Quinn steps to the podium on Fridays and announces the captains for the week, that John Allen is the defensive one.
Yeah, you're not going to book any action here. That sounds like a quite reasonable prediction to me. I think his segment with the Junkies will probably go a lot smoother this week too, so that'll be good for everybody, good for business.
Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. here on the Team 980. Hey, hey.
Yes, sir.
And 910 The Fan, yeah? Yeah,
pick
your stream on the Odyssey app. So, you know, there we go.
Exactly. 2 weeks ago after the Giants game, I said, hey, if this trends this way, there's probably going to be a lot of chatter about trading them at the trade deadline, and I'm not sure it'll be unwarranted, but, you know, it's the opposite now. I think you have to ask, could this be a playoff team? And if it is, you're keeping him because he's a maximum effort guy who would be a part of that. So things change quickly in the NFL.
Yes, they do. And, of course, Commanders fans don't want anything to change right now. Cleveland is a totally different challenge this weekend. Defensively, they're by far and away the best team that Washington will have faced so far. The good news is offensively, they are a nightmare right now. Like, not a nightmare for defenses. They are a nightmare for themselves. So they stink. But how, I don't say how worried, like, what do you think this offense is capable of facing that caliber of defense? Because they have, if you want to poke holes in the argument, statistically speaking, they have faced three of, I think, the five worst defenses in the NFL through the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, and I think we all thought Cincy would be better than that, too. So they got some answering to do there for how they've played so far. I'm excited for this one. I'll tell you what I'm really excited for, Craig. I think this might be the first true home field advantage game at FedEx Commander's Northwest Credit Stadium in maybe a decade, maybe more. It's been so many 50-50 crowds for so long. I think we've forgotten what that means and what that is. I think there's enough juice in this town, and it's a weak enough opponent, right? Like you talk about, like, if the Steelers are there, there will be Steelers fans there. That's how the NFL works. I just think Cleveland's been here recently. Their fans have had a chance to go. They're not particularly exciting this year. I think this could be a real, actual home field advantage. I think it could remind people of something that I've needed reminding of occasionally over the last decade, Craig. It's fun to go to football games, and it hasn't always been in Landover. And I think that would do as much for the operation as anything that happens on the field. If they can get a couple touchdowns and get some fun in front of a crowd that's actually cheering for the home team.
That's a great point. I thought about that earlier today as well, because you know the schedule the next 4 weeks, right? They don't leave the state of Maryland for a home game. They have Cleveland, they're at Baltimore, and then they got two home games. By the way, one of those is against Carolina. You want to talk about a beaten down fan base that ain't going to travel, even though it's not that far of a trip. Why the hell would you go anywhere to see the Carolina Panthers? My parents are, you know, living down there in South Carolina. They don't want to go to their couch from the other parts of their house to watch the Panthers right now. That team, yikes.
That's a tough watch right now. The Jaguars are too, by the way. If you want to see bad offensive football near 2024, they don't know what they're doing. It's wild. But no, you're absolutely right. This is a tough one. Cleveland's defense is good, and you're always on alert for, you know, them figuring it out offensively. There's a lot of talented pieces there. It hasn't worked out for them at all. It's been a disaster, as you note. But in the NFL, you're always 1 week away from turning it around. I think this is arguably the second hardest game they've played this year. I'm going to put still Cincy at number one on that list. I think they really rose to the occasion. It was an impressive, impressive win. But I think this could be the second toughest team they play this year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, that's Michael Phillips. He will be back on the air 10 a.m. tomorrow down in Richmond for MP on the Mic, which you can listen to via 910 The Fan on the free Odyssey app. Michael, thank you, sir. And we will talk to you next week / I will see you at Northwest Stadium on Sunday.
As we say, see you Sunday.
See ya Sunday. That's Michael Phillips, everybody, with us on the Hoffman Show, as he is each and every week. Speaking of things we do each and every week, we pick every game on Friday. We give you our predictions. On Monday, we give you how we did with said picks and the analysis. Hopefully the analysis will be better than the picks, because, man, did we suck at picking games this week. We'll go through them all as we go around the NFL next on the Team 980.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.